It is Thursday, the 10th of September, 2015. This is episode 258 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox, the day after an Apple event. So you know what's coming. I am Chris, joined as always and ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris. And what I like is Apple always say, like, everything's different. And I'm looking at you and everything is different. You've got a beard.
Well, as I explained to you before, this is pure laziness. And I'm saving my money for my car by saving my razor costs. The beard will be gone soon. You know, in a weight saving
I think endeavor. It's more than the beard that needs to go.
You're probably right. I don't think the beard's adding to my weight. As mentioned previously, yeah, Apple keynote, which is quite exciting and in-depth. So we will be talking about that mostly throughout this podcast. We've got a few other stories we'll finish off with. But quite frankly, we want to talk about the keynote. So let's do that. And I have actually watched the keynote. I didn't watch it live, but I did decide to catch up based on what I saw. So we might as well just go in the order that they talked about it.
Yeah.
So Apple Watch, my summary of that would be not much has changed. They've given a new couple of straps and a couple of colors and that's about it really.
Yeah. So basically next week, WatchOS 2 comes out. So it means,
is that for developers or are they releasing?
It's been out for developers for a while.
So this is the one where you can have a native app for the watch rather than a companion app.
Yep. So there'll be native apps. There will be third-party complications. So the little things on the front screen, third parties can now start to put their own ones in.
But it's a limited number of third parties. Is that right?
Or
is
I think it's a limited number of complications you can put in, but it's dependent. It's up to the third-party developer to develop for it. So I'm hoping things like, seeing said at the moment, it's nice to have the weather on the front, but it takes you to Apple's own weather app. I'd rather go to Dark Sky. So I'm hoping there's a dark sky complication that I can see. And there's other things, you know, so if you wanted to see gate changes, you can put a complication on the front if you want to see a gate change.
app-wise, Facebook messages coming, iTranslate, there's going to be a GoPro app. Now, the GoPro app, this is an interesting one. They showed a picture of a GoPro and said how you can now check and align your vision. And the picture they showed for that was someone in a kayak. Now, is the Apple Watch waterproof?
So yes, but yeah, well, no. So it is. I find it really weird because it's like when they announced it, they didn't really say. But then if you go online, it says it's waterproof. But then they say it's showerproof. But then they say it's waterproof to a certain level.
My cynicism about being in a kayak and having you might do it.
Although people have been swimming with it. It's been fine.
Fine, okay.
And even the advice for if you get a Gungee, see the digital crown? If it gets Gungee, wash it. Dip it in water and wash it.
So they're not scared of it getting wet.
So I've showered with it. I've run the rain with it. I sweated all over it because I do sweat profusely. And it's all been fine.
Lovely. We know a little bit more about you now that we maybe didn't want to know. Airstrip, they concentrated on this quite a lot. So this was patient stats for doctors walking around hospitals. They're really going for that kind of health angle. There's a few other bits that they've been covering that we'll talk about in a minute. Which I couldn't help thinking, why a watch for that? Why wouldn't you just have an iPad?
But I think
because they've also got an iPad, I assume.
Yeah, but I think it was just back to that immediacy. You know, if your iPad's down somewhere else, your iPhone app's down somewhere else, I think they're just showing the utility you can get out of a watch. And I mean, I think I've said it before, people have asked, and I got asked yesterday, I asked this morning as well, people still see it as a novelty, because it's like, oh, it's one of those, you're a big geek, it's one of those Apple watches. And it's like, yep. And how'd you find it? And I keep on saying, it is a nice watch, because it's not doing much else for me right now.
Yeah.
But I think the kind of demos that you saw, there was Airstrip with those patient stats, and then there was that Sense for Baby. You know, you could put another sensor on your belly again, and I just get heartbeats and all that kind of stuff. It's a nice demo.
It was a very nice demo. I just didn't see why a doctor would be looking at their watch to review that data. As in, you know, is someone at home going? Is a doctor just specifically sat there going, contractions? Better get her in.
Well, for me, that was all about It was when I saw that stuff, that was me as a pregnant woman seeing that on my watch and also sending that to the doctor. Because they showed you could see, you could hear your baby's heartbeat, which you can't obviously hear, but you can put your, so you're lying on your back, you've put that sensor on and you're looking at the watch to see how it's all looking.
Yeah, and they said that they were saying how it combined the baby data with the mother bird data, so it gave a stronger overall impression of what's going on. Anyway, clever demos.
I do think wearables, they do struggle to find that where's that kind of wow, that's
yeah, where's
why
that
I need
real
it.
Sweet spot? And to some extent, at the moment, is the health rings. Everyone talks about those and how they're motivating and stuff.
Health
and you can understand that.
And notifications for me. So even today, I was in a meeting and Jack messaged me and I could just, you know, it was like, right, I can deal with that in 20 minutes. I don't need to do anything urgent right now.
Yeah. The new colours, rose gold, I'm not very keen on. It's very basically pink aluminium. Whatever. And there was a couple of new bands and, like I said, Hermes have come up with a particular strap.
So Hermes have partnered with. A Hermes. And to get the strap, you need to buy the watch. You can't buy the strap on its own. And it's
the watch comes with its own watch, face, right?
Was it not £1,200?
I'm not sure.
It was horrendous. It was $1,200 or $1,500 for each one.
You know what? I think it's just another one of these. You know what? If we put an Apple logo on this, someone will buy it. We'll make a lot of money.
lots of people in my Twitter stream were like, oh, Hermes, that's fantastic. I want that. I really like that
but
strap.
But it's just the same thing, but with a different graphic.
But they were more focused on the strap. But I think a lot of people thought they could buy the strap separately, and it's not. You buy the watch.
The strap, there's this wraparound strap. Yeah. I thought it looked awful.
I didn't like it at all.
I'm clearly not stylish, but it looked really ugly.
Well, I can tell you, you're clearly not stylish.
When you were wearing that t-shirt last week,
ouch.
Watch OS 2 out 6th of September, so it's not very far away. iPad, this was a biggie, literally. iPad Pro, which amazingly, if you take what Microsoft put the Microsoft Surface Pro, the whole kind of concept of the Surface Pro, you turn that into an iPad, that's exactly what Apple have come up with. So, you know, it's definitely not leading innovation, but they've done their normal thing of making it sound like it's the first whatever to think about this. But even down to effectively, this is a computer's worth of performance inside of a tablet, and you can add a keyboard to it via the, via a cover. Rather than actually a solid keyboard, it's the device's cover. And it all looked, you know, they did a nice job of video, make it all sound really super special, great. It's proper use of their kind of multitasking inside of iOS. So you could really see where the kind of basis of all that was coming from. Plus they've got the stylus.
Yeah. And as you say, I mean, if you swapped out, iPad for Surface, I mean, yes, looking at it, you knew it was an iPad and it was from Apple and it wasn't a Microsoft product, but same size screen. It has the little, connector for keyboards. They've got a smart keyboard, the same as Microsoft have got their keyboard with the same kind of cover on it, and it's all intelligent. And as you said, they've now got not a stylus, but a pencil, which I did, but I did write down, dick move, because you've got that pencil from... Is it 37 Signals or whatever who do the paper app, who have a stylus called a pencil, and I just thought that's
it works though. I didn't mind that. I didn't bug me.
No, so hardware wise, I mean, it's a bit like when the iPad first came out and people were saying it's just a big iPhone, and this in some ways you could look at it and go it's just a big iPad.
But it does make a lot of sense with the iOS 9.
It does. And performance wise, I mean, this. I do think this is like desktop quality. This is the reckon. This is on par with probably a MacBook Air from 2 years ago. You know, from how much power the CPU's got. So it's
and with the extra focus that an iOS app type has, you probably find that it's actually more powerful in some respects.
Yeah. Just because, as you said, it's only running the one or two things, and it's not running a lot of things in the background. And 4-speaker audio. So a lot of the audio is very much improving. It's only just a little bit heavier than the original iPad.
Which is fine, but if you remember, everyone said that the original iPad was dead heavy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of But yes, they had to go, fine, there's progress. You can make this thing that's 40% bigger or whatever, and it's still only the same weight, but it's still heavy.
Used a Surface Pro for 2 months. The Surface Pro is, and I know they say it's a tablet and it's a laptop, but it is heavy. Compared to holding an iPad, it was like, and, you know, you're carrying it.
And it, and the uses of this extra screen, I don't think you'd sit there and hold it to watch a movie. You'd need a stand to put it on or something, turn it into like a little mini TV. So I see this far, far more. And with the Apple Pencil, Wacom have come up with those interactive tablets, which is all about graphics and art. And a lot of the demos or a lot of the video footage shown is people using it to draw. And you can see that, like Wacom charge tons or Wacom charge loads for their interactive stylus, which is effectively their stylus with a screen. And this is coming in far, far cheaper than them.
And the pencil was actually, and I put in the quote, and it was just me being childish. If you see a stylist or task manager, they blew it.
Steve Jobs. Because that's what they said, isn't it? Yeah.
Steve Jobs. But things change and markets change. And there is a good proportion of people that do want to interact with a stylist. And they do, you know, so if you're an artist, if you're into graphics, if you're into architecture, if you're into all these things, you need that input device, that you need something that, more than a finger.
And that pencil looked incredible, you know, great bit of technology.
Can you draw?
No.
I can't draw to save myself, but Shaq is actually a really, you know, keen, you know, sketch artist, can draw when he puts his mind to it. And he was looking at it going, oh, I can see myself sketching with that.
Sketching more than you would with a pen and pencil, just because of the novelty as much as anything.
But also just the range of tools you've got available. You know, you can fire up a different app and you've got a whole load of palette colours. You don't need 20 pencils, you've got one.
There was a great bit of the demo where they were using multi-touch to hold a virtual ruler and then using the pencil to draw down the edge of that ruler. And I thought, that's incredible. You know,
and that was the
I don't know why that's incredible. It just is.
But I think that's an interesting thing, because I think all the third-party styluses or styli, I don't know what you would call them, they can't do the multi-touch, but the pencil, because it's been designed by Apple, you can write with that and still use multi-touch.
Yeah, it's got a sensor in there that it knows where the... And it changes the... I mean, the whole patter is that it changes the sensor, picks up, you know, double the number of signals from when it's the pencil on the paper rather than just your finger.
And I'm sure it does. Other nice thing about the pencil was just the lightning port. Take off the top lightning port. It's got 12 hours of battery life, but if you plug it in for 15 seconds, you get another 30 minutes.
Yeah, amazing. And I did think about that lightning port, though. If you shove it into the bottom of, you know, where, or into a charger, it's a long thing to be stuck out of. How someone's going to step on it, aren't they? It's going to just...
Or have your eye out.
Certainly you wouldn't want to hold it in portrait and rest it down, would you?
Now you mentioned demos. How ironic was the first demo was Microsoft?
You know what? That was more, for me, that was more saying Microsoft's intent rather than Apple's intent.
I think
it was Microsoft saying, we're open to this now.
Yeah. But I think it was a bit of both. It's a kind of thing that I couldn't, the way that Jobs had ended up, you know, quite bitter, quite entrenched with just how, you know, Android's stealing everything, although we'd kind of partnered with Google to fight Microsoft, and, you know, Adobe and, you know, Flash is rubbish and I'm going to fight you in that as well. It was almost like picking fights all over, and, you know, we're now a leader. And it was a bit, I do
that
think
lasted a while with all the patents, but now it seems we're like beyond that. We're now into that, let's work together.
And Microsoft have changed as well. I mean, Office is a really successful product on iOS, and it was a good smart demo. I mean, even with Schiller, when they said, you know, who better to demo productivity than Microsoft, and there was a few people laughing, but it's like, you know, you're really the dicks for laughing, because the world's moving on.
Yeah, it worked. And the Adobe composition demo looked good as well. Again,
I thought it looked amazing, actually. At first I was a bit, this looks a bit kind of crummy, but then seeing you saw all the undo with gestures and how quickly he was able to mock up a page and, you know, a bit of cut and pasting between the apps, really, really nice.
And that showed that, you know, good use of that sort of multitasking is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. See, the only thing that was weird, so the multitasking, you're talking about these, you can now bring up two
pull-outs,
apps. Yeah. What is kind of weird, you thought you'd just be able to kind of drag and drop from one app to another, but you can't. You've actually
got to cut and paste. API calls, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's awkward, and I guess it's always going to be awkward like that because I guess there is that effectively the whole device is running as two devices at that point, right?
I don't know. It's, and I'm just
insular in their own things. They're programmed to work on their own.
Yes, and I'm just wondering: is there some sort of container from a security perspective that they're running 100%
they will
on
be.
Its own, and it can't interact. So it can't. So you've got to cut to somewhere else in the operating system to paste that in somewhere
to a protective ring wall.
And it worked to a certain. But you just when you saw it, you're like, drag.
Intuitively, which is where we're always told we should be. It should be an easy thing of pull it over there and done, and then pull it back again, or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, 3D medical.
it was one of these kind of demos where I think it was shown off. They wanted to show graphics off, but from an enterprisey type, something that was non-gaming, and it worked. I mean, it looked a really smart app, but nothing.
Yeah, fine. It's a doctor being able to show a patient exactly what's going on inside your body, and it did look in depth enough. The number of doctors that be that interested in learning that kind of device to that level, I would say, is limited. Because I think you do have to learn that application quite heavily to be as proficient as she was showing it off.
Yeah, but there must be a market there because they've been around for a little while. If you look on their web, I've had a little tour around, and it looks like they've been around for quite a while, and they've obviously invested quite a lot because it was all about this version. We've doubled the amount of textures and doubled this and done that.
Space grey, gold, silver, starting $799, ending just over $1,000.
It was actually a little bit less than I thought. I was expecting them to turn around and go, this is starting at $1,000.
I think they've realised that that if they just go slightly below where you think they're going to price, they sell more because they know they're going to be able to sell the apps. So I don't think they're lost leaders by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think they've made the decision not to make as much profit from the hardware because they know that the real money's in the software.
Agreed. Apple Pencil, $99. Again, I thought that was reasonable. The keyboard felt pricey at $169.
You know, though, that these are all going to be one-to-one translations when they get to the UK market as well. $799 is going to be £799.
Well, I think one of the guys, because the UK prices haven't been released for these because we've not covered it, but these aren't out to November, the iPad Pro. So it's going to be a couple of months before they're released. And what one of the chaps at work did was basically take the dollar price for current iPads and then applied that conversion. So I think it was coming out about $620 or $630. He reckoned it was starting at.
Okay.
So that's
which is quite
bad.
Tempting. It's quite tempting beyond the what is it? So it's kind of $500 for the top end iPad now, is it Retina?
Yeah. Top end because you start to add in, do you want cellular?
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
USA. USA.
Exactly. Aluminum.
It's almost a continuous numbers, a set of numbers, right? They've made their range an almost continuous set, rough set gaps. So it's always the next one to tempt you onwards.
There was one guy at work I was desperate to talk to today, and I did speak to him. So there's a chap called Graham that I work with, and all throughout the iPads have been out, he's always wanted, I want a 13-inch iPad.
Yeah.
And when I watched last night, I thought of him, and this morning I was like, yeah, I'm buying it. That's what I want. I want something that size.
What about you? Do you market for you now? So, and I think it's beyond. I do think they cracked it with the old iPad. I'm not so keen on the smaller one, and I'm not so keen on the bigger one. I think that
and it's
that
weird.
Middle ground feels about right.
I actually have been recently. I'm talking to Jack about this stuff all the time. He sold his iPad a couple of years ago to fund something else. I think it was when he bought his MacBook Pro. So I think it was like, I don't need these things. I really want a MacBook Pro, and he's kind of missed it. But he's now. I think it was the what kind of tipped him. I think this was more how great will photos look on it, how great will it be to sketch on it. It's something that almost
but you lose that portability, which is the
you
joy
do
of it.
You do, but he's looking at he'll probably get that and not have a laptop, and he'll have an iMac for the kind of photo editing, and that will be his only device alongside the iPhone.
I can definitely see it's going to have a market. It's not for me. I just think that the thing you lose is the portability, and I think that's one of the key aspects of
it. As I said, we're starting to use Surface Pros a lot more at work. And they are really nice devices, but even battery life is 3.5-4 hours.
And they said this is battery life of 10 hours, yep. But it does say on the website specifically, you know, battery life is fully dependent on what the hell you're doing. I thought it was one technology that's not in these notes is that they could update the refresh rate of the pixels based on what was going on screen. So they could know whether it was a film, know whether it was a desktop application. And if it's a desktop application and a fixed place in that, they could actually reduce the pixel update rate, which is pretty clever technology. That's clever.
Oh, the amount that goes on in these things, you take it, it's amazing what we take for granted and what gets delivered, not just by Apple, by all the kind of tech companies. Yep. You know, when I look down at the drone and I think what everything is bundled in that package, it's like, that's pretty damn cool. So the other thing they announced, which was basically, this is also iPad Mini 4.
I know,
so
they just glossed over that one, didn't they? Normally that would be the whole flipping 20 minutes of the presentation.
This was a two-hour keynote, and being good old Tim Cook right at the start, because I saw a couple of the wags on Twitter, here come the updates, and straight away it was like, we've got no time for updates tonight. Let's talk Apple Watch.
Yeah, so iPad Mini 4 is effectively the iPad Air 2 in the mini frame. So all that iPad Air 2 stuff inside the smaller frame, which is pretty amazing.
And no updates to any other iPads. And what all I was going to say on iPad, recently I've been like, I don't really get much usage out of it. You know, could I, you know, if it broke, would I go and buy another one? And then the drone came out and it's great as a screen. And it is great for, you know, reading magazines and PDFs and all the other things. So it's a kind of nice to have.
You know what? I used to love my iPad like nothing, and I don't know where it is. It's in my house somewhere, and I'm not that bothered. Now I've got out of the habit of it.
Exactly.
I'm not that bothered anymore.
Exactly.
So maybe it was just a habit.
But then all of a sudden, I've got a use for it again with the drone, and it is. And I know, and it's a really nice to have for the drone, because if I had a phone, it would be fine. But having the big screen is great. Yeah. And also, I've been getting into my photos again. You know, a little bit of the passion's come back. And again, seeing it on that bigger screen compared to the iPhone, it's like, this is nice. This is a nice device.
Apple TV, then. So, as they said, we've been working on this a long time. And I'm not sure they have been working on it a long time. I think they've been waiting to try and get some of the agreements in place. Okay. Here comes an
it's you kind may of say
what,
that.
It's kind of what you'd expect from Apple TV. Effectively, it's using the Apple TV same form factors as the small little box, but now it's added an app store. Allows you to play games, allows searching for music and entertainment and films, basically, and TV. So it's got hooks into iTunes, Netflix, Hulu, HBO. So the kind of main providers. And you can search using Siri. So you can basically say, I want to see movies, the blah, 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 blah. And up they will pop. And you get a little remote with it, which is what's taking that the Siri command. And it's also got a touch surface, which is what you use to interact with the TV screen. And it's all high def.
Yeah. So for me, so all three long-time listeners of the podcast will know that I've banged on about Apple TV and it needs an app store, and I can't believe they're leaving money on the table, and I can't wait for it to come out. Yep. And each year...
It's here.
It is here. And it's interesting because Tim Cook said the vision, the future of TV is apps, which is fine. I think we're seeing that more and more, because if you look in the watch, there's no browser. If you're looking on the Apple TV, which is now a platform, which is now one of the main platforms for Apple, it's no longer a hobby, because the operating system is a TVOS. So again, a kind of almost a fork of iOS. So you've got watchOS, iOS, TVOS, and OS X.
I still think I think what's actually happened is that apps have turned in technology's moved to the state now where there's an underlying service and provision that is then dished out to different and varied front ends, right? Including the web as one of them. So Netflix, I'm sure the underlying technology is exactly the same that draws all the stuff up on the, I bet it's an XML file somewhere, which is all the, you know, the effectively the library. And the underlying videos is all served, you know, via the same technologies.
Certainly when I was hacking the Apple TV to get Plex Connect working, it was all XML files that you were hacking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was all this, you know, so you could start to force it to talk to your computer rather than talking to servers.
So, that's why it makes so much sense, because that XML file can be used and consumed anywhere.
But tvOS is very, very different. So they showed you it is a proper, you know, it is apps you develop. You can have them up to 200 meg. There is no, although you can buy 16 and 32 gig, I think it comes in. Sorry, mm-hmm. 32 and 64 gig. Are the two different versions of the Apple TV, but there's no local storage available to developers. Everything has to be stored in the cloud. So we are all going to become consumers of iCloud, whether we like it or not. The thing for me that was really nice, not only the tvOS thing, but the little remote that you touched on, because people were saying, you know, how's this going to work? And, you know, if you don't do a proper controller, it's never a games machine. And it does look as if it's going to be good enough. Certainly the people that have tried it are saying it is far more intuitive than the current one. You can easily move around that front end interface. The front end interface for me is actually breath of fresh air, and that is similar, but it's light, it's a lot of little animations, it looks really good. And when they showed you the new apps from like Netflix and Hulu, they looked really rich, a bit like how Plex looks, you know. They looked that really rich application. It was like, that's something nice. Siri being able to go in and say, you know, play me the West Wing with such and such guest, you know, actor, and it took them right to it. And I can't remember what the demo was they did last night. But again, it was a really good demo.
They've added the extra touches and features and into the Apple Empire to make it feel like a fully fleshed out thing. I agree.
Even daft things like, and lots of people, when I was watching the keynote and seeing it on Twitter, people were saying the same thing. I do sit and watch programs, but I'm on the computer and I'm thinking, what did she say? Or what did he say? And you can press the Siri button and say, what did she say? And it rewinds back 15 seconds. And it also puts up subtitles. And
okay, nice fine. I thought clever. I thought, I've never done that in my life.
Oh, no, I do it quite often. But it's because when I'm watching TV, I'm not watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm doing two things. And I know I'm doing two things, which is why when I was watching like all the Scandi dramas, I was kidding myself on that. I understood that. Hold on, it was Swedish. Yeah. And I need to read that. And I would write it back and watch it and go, oh, okay.
And they showed games running on it as well.
Crossy Road.
Yeah, Crossy Road, of course.
Which looked really nice on the big screen. Yeah. Also, multiplayer's added. So if you've got an iPhone, you can just join in the game and play multiplayer.
So yeah, that looked very clever. It looked like the controller, so you, as well as the swipe and the sort of touch gestures, you've got clicky buttons as well on it. And it looked like you could use it a little bit like a kind of Wii remote. So it had sensors in it for sort of swishing movements and stuff.
Believe it or not, it's also got a strap on it. So it's almost exactly like a cut down Wii remote, in that you can put the strap around your wrist when you're playing your motion control stuff. It won't smash your TV when you get annoyed.
And they had some good sort of stats. Like they showed I don't know who it was. It was a guy doing a sports demo, basically.
MLB.
It was the MLB. He spoke about 4 million miles an hour. It's unbelievably nervous.
He was the biggest kick in the world as he talked about MLB.
And that's my demo.
But I thought that was the best demo of the night. I loved
it. It showed some cleverness there, as in I'm not interested in that level of stat, but it's kind of like, you know, if you're watching Wimbledon and they occasionally bring up, you know, this is where the first serve's gone in and stuff, you can imagine that in the same vein you'll be able to get that data in real time should someone ever invest in that kind of app.
And I think baseball is one of the most stat heavy kind of sports.
Well, it has to, because it's boring other than that, isn't it?
Yeah, but nothing but happens really, for ages. They really get involved in the stats, and the fact that when he showed you the kind of the 16 games playing, you can just basically move around. I want to watch that one. Instantaneous, you could watch it. Yeah. You can see the stats alongside it. And that's that richness of, it's an app. It's not just a TV stream you're looking at.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good demo, apart from the guy was super excited.
Well, I just think he was that nervous that he didn't realise he clearly snorted something, allegedly.
Let's be honest. All the Apple presenters, when they watched Guy, stuttered over almost every second word. Yeah. Even Phil wasn't
yeah, it's almost perfect. Like they there was almost too much for them to do, wasn't there?
Yeah,
being told not to
I mean, I'd be making chocolate buttons if I had to go up in that stage. Especially if you make one mistake, you would then be like, oh, no.
And it was it was like, a big old room, wasn't it? It was a big old room.
Even Eddie Q went too far forward in his demo, and then he kind of went back, and then he was kind of looking at his remote like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, but check out this shirt.
It was a big red shirt. So overall, this is the problem. It was kind of everything I expected. And I kind of do expect it now rather than I wasn't delighted by it because it didn't, I don't know why, really.
I know what you mean. Cause I see for me, they could have brought this out last year.
The bit that was always niggling me was, right, I subscribe to Netflix, right? And they've got an app which I can watch on my TV via various other places, right? So how much of the content that I'm getting up driven up by the Apple TV is going to be paid for? You know, it's all paid for content rather than a subscription service. It's like, if you want to watch that movie, that's fine, but it's going to cost you. You want to do that, it's fine, but it's going to cost you. So every action in that app has a cost associated with it, really.
But we talked about that last week before, that if you look at a lot of the subscription services now, it is hard to just pick one and be happy with it. I'm hearing more and more people saying, I mean, there's a guy today, I've got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I've got two.
And I'm going to end up with them as well, I'm sure.
And it's just to cover the bases. You know, you know, if you want everything, you actually have to invest quite a bit. And even
so, actually, you're saying that I should actually be happier that it's each individual bit of content. I just go, yeah, I want that.
I think that's where that universal search, where you can say, I want to just watch something. So you're not having to think about where it is. And obviously, I think Apple only said it was working with some companies initially, which I'm sure I noted down when I was doing it last night. But so iTunes, Netflix, Hulu, HBO, and Showtime. So obviously, that's quite American focused.
Yeah.
But I can't see Amazon getting added anytime soon. And they said we'll be adding even more over time. And it's just, what does that mean?
Depends if Amazon want to get included as much as anything.
No, it does. But then I'm looking at things like Plex, which is more local media. Will they ever play happy with Plex? I doubt it. I'm sure.
No, they're never going to, because that's not a service.
We'll see a Plex app, but it'll never be part of that. And it's disappointing, but I can never see it being part of that universal search.
Yeah, so when you do the search, it's not going to go and check your local library, is it? So.
And there's a couple other things they showed. When you showed continuity, so you could be playing an iOS game and then you can actually continue on in the big screen. Would I do that? Maybe. There was a couple of forums I was on last night saying there's no gamer that's got an Xbox or PS4 will ever play a game on this. And I was like, but that's
not true necessarily, because you might just want to dip in and out. But yeah, I don't see that as the biggest market for that. I do see that them getting the media people involved as their biggest market.
The good thing as well, the remote is Bluetooth, so you can tuck that box away. Don't ever need to see it, and you can still be in full control.
iPhone 6S and the 6S Plus. They spent a long time convincing me that everything was new, even though it looked exactly the same. So there you go. new aluminium alloy, apparently. Again, all their new colours, some new cases. Biggest thing, though, was 3D Touch.
Yes.
So this... You can sum this up by just saying this is the equivalent of a right click, right, of an old operating system. So it's a way into content and additional options. It did do, it's not quite right, because it's got peak, what they're calling peak and pop. So peak is you can hold your finger over an element and it will say that was an email. It will pop up that email in a preview. As soon as you let go, it will go away again. So you can have a quick sneak peek at your email. And pop is when you've popped it, you peek it, and then if you decide you really do want to get into that email to go and reply or something, you can press even harder, and then it will actually pop in. So that actually now takes over your thing, and it's all, I guess, controlled by the same kind of haptic technology they've got in the new touchpads, which I still think is voodoo, and there some little man in there is making it feel like I'm clicking, because it cannot be technology. It's amazing.
And it's similar to the watch. So the watch had the kind of force touch, and it's just a bit weird that the watch, they call it force touch, but they've decided to call it 3D touch because it's got an extra, it's got two levels.
But yes, and the touchpad has that. I didn't realise a touchpad, you've got that first little level and then a second level. They call it 3D touch.
It's just weird that they've done that. And as you say, I mean, I scribbled down last night when you saw that on your home screen. You know, instead of just launching an icon, you can right click. Oh no, you can't. You can 3D touch, and you get so like Instagram, you could just jump straight to a screen, and there's other actions. You know, so Facebook, I can just post a message. So rather than opening Facebook to then click someone and post a message,
it'll get used to it. The couple of things that bothered me a little bit about this is the same with the argument I've had before. It's hiding more and more features away into what less intuitive. So some people will never find features of apps because they just will never find this.
Or you'll find it accidentally and you'll be like, what's that?
Find it accidentally, or you'll want it and it's just not there. And it's like, well, how do I do that then? Because that's kind of, it should become ingrained. So that's my only argument. It looked like a nice addition. It offers extra functionality into iOS. It is moving away though from this, from that a kid could do this. I still say this is moving more into the realms of it's less and less.
The other strange thing, it looks like the iPad Pro doesn't have this.
Well, they didn't touch on it, did they? I didn't mean that in that
way.
And
there's been lots of people on Twitter today. I've seen this every couple of hours. Question: So does this actually do?
And why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
Maybe because the haptics, because it's such a big area, they can't offer that haptics to be able to do it. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know, but I think if it did it, they would have talked about it.
Maybe the size of a haptic device to make it work in something like that would be too big for it to be practical. But even without the actual haptic feedback, you still think that that same gesture might be sensible.
And they showed you that gesture working elsewhere. So for like the alt tab, so they kind of, rather than kind of hold, you know, double clicking and swiping between apps, they've got that new animation, and you can 3D touch your way into it and move through apps quite elegantly. Again, it's one of these things. I think as a demo, it looked like a nice to have. I'm pretty sure once you get a phone and you're used to it, it'll feel like this is a really nice way of interacting.
And if you went backwards in time, you'd probably find it's hard to live without it, as far as you'd be so used to using it that
because you'll get used to the little shortcuts that all the apps are now going to start to offer. And this is going to be the frustrating thing. And this is why I was saying I'm not buying a phone, but then you're like, oh, because you're going to get app updates, which is like, now supports 3D touch. You can go and do this and this and this. And you'll be like, oh, I want to do that. I want that.
Yeah, and it is going to be harder for app developers. You know, this is broadening out the number of devices now an app developer has to support. It's making that more and more complicated all the time. You know, they used to be proud of the fact that it was there's an iPhone, there's an iPad, there's this and there's that, and that's it. And a developer can build one app and it'll work on all of them. Now they're having to be catered for this, that, and the other. That bit of hardware, is it there? Is it not? You know,
well, think about it. It's you've got so iPhone 5, 6, 6S, the different iPads, the different sizes, and also watchOS and also now tvOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it is getting more complicated to develop for.
And just, it's probably the right time to mention this. They did talk about how they're encouraging developers to see if you've bought the app in iOS, then it's free in tvOS. You just kind of one purchase. It's like, but you're asking developers to develop an awful lot more. So am I really going to develop, you know, a game at 99p and just see it bought once and be available in five different platforms that
I'm sure
they support?
I'm sure that the development tools are such that it does make this job as simple as they can. But you're right, a universal app is. Does that mean then if you only got an iPhone, right, and you buy this thing, are they going to charge more because it's covering all these different applications?
I just think it's hard for some developers now that I'm not saying the gold rush is over, but that more and more you're seeing people saying, I just can't keep developing this. I can't keep my family going.
Yep, 12 megapixel camera, takes nice pics, takes 4K video. A 5-megapixel FaceTime camera with their big tweak being that it'll now light up the screen, so it's almost like a pseudo flash. Basically, they can make the screen 3 times brighter for a very brief moment, so you can take a selfie with a flash. Live photos. This is funny. So an interesting concept. So basically, now photos aren't just photos. If you hold on to them, if you touch on them, then they all just move like a movie, and it even has sound. But they stressed that this was not a movie. This was a series of photos and sound stored together in clever ways to make the file size small, which is probably called MP4.
I was going to sound like a GIF.
I'm not sure why they were so insistent that this was not just a little small movie.
Because when I watched it, I was like, right, I've taken a video.
Yeah, so you've taken a video and you're taking one still from that video as the main photo.
But it's not a video.
Yeah.
And they did say, like, and you can send it to a watch. So when I lift up my and glance, then because it's 4 seconds, which is usually the time the screen's on anyway, it'll show the little animation as well.
It's not an animation, it's a movie.
Yeah.
And, whatever they tell me, it's
no,
bloody movie.
They'll show me the live photo. Did HTC not do this with photos that animated and had sound in it? I'm sure HTC did it a couple of generations ago. Somebody did it.
It's all down to the fact that, you know, they put that technology for making sure that it always got the picture where everyone's eyes are open, right? So it's just doing that same thing. It's got a new icon that you can click on now and take a live photo.
And to me, it's just making a video out of the burst mode. So if I've taken taken a photo. The weird bit, does that mean, I mean, if I take like your picture now, does that mean it's always recording the audio? Does that mean it's always capturing audio?
Because they showed the separate icon that you clicked to actually take that photo. It was a different setting.
Right.
So it was a different setting you went to. Then when you took the photo, it took that 4 second, whatever it was, block. Okay. If you went back to camera mode, I believe it would just be a standard photo.
I also thought it was interesting that it wasn't just the developer APIs are coming, but it's coming to Facebook. It's almost like that. It's like a validation. Facebook are going to add this, and you're going to want to put that on Facebook. And tell other people the only way you can see it is via iPhone.
You know what though? It's kind of clever. It's a bit like photos are, you know, such a snapshot. And actually, some of the magic's removed when you can then suddenly see it moving. But actually, I agree with them. It does add some sort of air of, you know, position and context, I guess. So, yeah.
I think it's a certain situation. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, if you're in top set of the podium and somebody's got you with a punch, but if you could see the little kind of before it and after it.
It's never going to happen again, Ian.
Oh, come on.
It's never going to happen.
All in the head.
It's all in the past.
All in the head.
So, yeah, so there you go. That was live photos. They've got other things. So they've got twice as fast Wi-Fi. iOS 9 is coming to... where else are we doing?
So the funny thing was that they're now an app on Android store, so you can get your data over to iPhone, because I've seen more and more people that are coming to iPhone. And it was a way Phil Schiller says, it's a neighbourly thing to do. It's like, you cock. But there's new charging docks that colour match with the phone. There's new covers. And the price is the same. But I think the worst bit was that it starts at 16 gig. And I'm taking 4K video on a 16 gig iPhone is like ridiculous.
And my iPhone, my flipping Google phone is only a 16 gig, and that I didn't think I'd be restricted by that, but I am. It is painful nowadays. It's not enough. Ain't enough. They also introduced their upgrade program, so you can go onto a 2-year program, basically, and you get the iPhone as soon as they release a new one. So it's almost a subscription service, basically. So you, I don't know if you get to keep the old one as well.
No, you basically hand that back.
So it's kind of a recycling system as well. But yeah, $384 a year that works out at. So it'd be more in this.
32. So basically, £20 a month. And what they were saying was, give us £20 a month, and each year you just get a new iPhone.
It's not going to be £20 a month by the time it gets here, though.
No, but so it's America only. So I can see it being America only this year, and who knows what will happen. But I looked at that cost and thought,
wasn't 100% clear. It said you could choose your own character carrier, but it didn't actually make it clear whether that included the subscription to that carrier, or was it just the handset that you were paying for?
Because it's just a handset.
Yeah, so there's carrier charges on top, basically, as well. But if you are, like you, very keen on having the new phone each year, kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of understand it. And it's a way of Apple making sure they've got that continuous stream of money. They're guaranteed that money coming in for the next 2 years. And they know,
So I meant to ask, so iPad Pro, we both said it's not for us. Apple TV, I'm buying, but you're not?
Well, it's cheap enough that I don't... It intrigues me, and a moment of weakness, I might just go, I'll go and buy one. I don't see how it's going to improve over just running on my Xbox, really, Netflix on it.
Agreed. iPhone? Anything there that would make you buy an iPhone?
No, I'm definitely waiting for the next before I even consider it again.
And I'm going to be the same. So although I have been a yearly adopter, I think the last 3 years, I think it was the last 3 years I've bought each one. I think this year I'll be giving it a skip.
Which is unusual for me, because I would say that this one gives you more updates than many of the previous ones you've decided to buy.
Yes and no. I mean, the big one for me is 3D Touch. The camera is a nice update, but the 3D Touch is probably the kind of, that's the thing. And I'm saying that, and I'm just looking at price. I looked at prices tonight, see if I could sell it for what I think is going for an eBay. It probably cost me a couple hundred quid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I do use every day. So in my head, I'm like, oh, well.
So even though you just said I'm not going to, there's definitely a big part of your brain which has already bought one.
So a couple other points. I know we've talked about Apple for 45 minutes.
Well done, us.
But iCloud pricing has dropped. So you now get basically more for less money, which is good. Because their prices were slightly higher than things like Dropbox and Google mm-hmm. and stuff. And you are, if you're on iPhone, you are kind of tied up to using iCloud. Sad bit that last night was probably Apple's punt at, this is the future for us. You know, it's here's our iPad Pro and here's the Apple TV, which I think could be really disruptive and could be another, you know, out of nowhere, they kind of own it all again. And there's the new phones, which obviously they make... I was listening to a radio broadcast and they were saying, you know, this is their answer to the charge of Samsung, because now Apple's the low player in all this. And it's like they're the only ones making money.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody
absolutely.
Is making money. But again, because I've looked at the sales charts, you know, Samsung sells loads, Apple doesn't sell loads. So this is their answer to try and sell more. And it's like, no, they are making oodles of cash. But the sad bit was the fact that Mac wasn't there. It was a little throwaway joke when they were looking at 3D Touch and looking at emails to say that yeah, we're getting an update for Macs on the 30th, and it was like, oh, this is quite sad.
But I mean, the Macs traditionally have been a separate event, right? They're not at this one. They're normally is it the New Year one?
Yes and no. It feels like the Macs have now been just a press release. There's a new MacBook Pro.
I think they might surprise. Yeah, but I think we've said this before. They've got a product with the Mac. Yeah, the iMac, which is, it doesn't need to be refreshed more than twice, you know, more than bi-yearly.
No. And I think the thing, what will be interesting is some people are now saying iPads, could it replace laptops? And people have kind of said no, but would that big one, it's a big screen. And if you want the keyboard, you can go and zap it on there. But a lot of people will probably just go with the screen and the pencil. Does that finally kill the laptop?
I don't think it does, no.
Time will tell. Not for
and
me.
And I certainly don't think it kills off OS X and desktop in any shape, form, you know.
No, again, not for me. If I look at some, and a couple of the app developers, you know, like Sketch developers come out, because some people are saying it'd be great if you could put Sketch in, and it's like, here's why we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just all, here's the limitations that you're not thinking through, that as developers that we would have to compromise our product.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No way. All right, let's move away from Apple then, and just briefly for the next 10 minutes or so talk about the rest of the news. If it takes that long even, Amazon, they've stopped selling the Fire smartphone. So the Fire Phone, which, we talked about when it first got released, it's clearly not been a big consumer hit, and they've just decided to quietly shelve it away. They're not really answering any questions on it, but it's no stock at the moment, and there's no intention for stock in the near future. So that's the end of the Fire Phone, basically.
I've never seen one in the wild,
and that's probably why they killed off.
Yeah,
it was fine if you're embedded in it. I mean, something like that might make more sense once Amazon really kick off on the old media sales, but because they're still quite tied down, as in their own little infrastructure that's away from everyone else. But I think they just have to get, you know, Amazon Video everywhere, basically.
And I think the tablets look to be, you know, a bit more successful. So whether they still,
I've certainly seen a couple of those around, yeah.
And the Fire TV, whether it's the stick or the puck, it seems to be successful. And there was rumours today that they're about to do a refresh this month, and I can see that being popular because
why not bookshelf for this, you know, as a failed enterprise, don't spend more money on it and don't need it. Office 2016 coming out September 22nd, so not very far away, 12 days or so. I can't get excited when you... it seems to me that applications nowadays are such on continuous cycles that I just don't get excited by the next release, really. But this is a big one, really.
It is, but it's... I mean, you're right. I mean, remember Photoshop used to get big fanfares? And now see where they're kind of every 3-6 month updates because everybody's... Or not everybody, but you're...
Yeah, I'm still
cloud
not,
subscription.
But, yeah, most people are, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's
just continuously updated to the latest version.
And it's like, well, here's one new menu feature we've added, or here's three new things we've added. Yeah. And Office is starting to feel like that as well, that just move to subscription. And I know they're trying to do that with 365. And
I think they'll make it as well. I think more and more people are going down that route. I think people are, especially as new computers seem to come with that kind of option now, rather than the kind of dated model of buying it once and having it forever.
And that's obviously what Apple are looking at with the phones.
Yep.
Give us $30 a month, and every year you can just have a new one.
So they've added extra. I can't get excited.
It's Office, and I think that's it. You know, it's one of these.
It's Office, and now it's everywhere, which is great. Well done, Microsoft. It still retains its relevance. It's still important. We still use it daily, that kind of thing.
For my job, it's actually probably my most used apps now. You know, so the combination of Visio, Outlook, I'm in all the time, and unfortunately PowerPoint and Word. You know, it's just like... Oh.
I just hope they've made a better effort of it than the last sort of full version, which they said it was a bit confusing to use, basically. It moved away from their traditional methodologies, and it caused quite a lot of confusion.
It's just there's a lot tucked away. I mean, the ribbon, I don't know, just it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting old.
Yeah, we'll report back on other people. Other people are a bit more excited. We'll review it, I'm sure, and we'll report back on that as to whether it's any good or not. Chrome 45. Basically, they have got a new memory management. So we've been talking the last couple of weeks about how rubbish Chrome is at its memory management. And the latest kind of beta releases do use... Basically, it kind of uses smartphone technology where it hides away processes and shuts things down in the background if they haven't been used for a while. Yet if you reopen a tab, it will go and restart those processes up from where you left off. I use the beta on one of my laptops here, and it's been on there for a little while now. It does make things slower to use, if that makes sense. Speeds up the computer.
Yeah.
The computer remains, it's speedier, but the actual process of navigating websites, if you're moving from tab to tab, it does get slower and it gets a little bit more frustrating.
That's interesting. So, because we talked about how Chrome, you know, was lightweight and then it's got bloaty, but it's got the things you want to use it for. And now
you take it back to a kind of more efficient level, and it's suddenly I'm realizing that it's slow to do that. Yeah,
but
I'm unconvinced yet.
They had to do it because if you look in either OS 10 or even in Windows now, they are emphasizing what apps are using most power. You know, it's like it's
absolutely. And Windows 10, one of its selling points is it can run on these small low powered machines. Yeah. But if you then have Windows 10 with Chrome running in it, it can't run on those small low powered machines because it is so greedy. Yeah. And this is a way around getting it. It says it does it intelligently. And I have to say that the computer this is installed on is low powered and pretty aging. So it's going to be the worst experience. And I think if you've got plenty of memory, it does then still, it realizes it doesn't have to do the garbage collection quite so often. So it's a bit less frustrating.
The nice thing is if you're in the Google world, see that sync in the, you know, shortcuts and stuff. And I know they said, people are moving away from it, but you still kind of rely on them. And just keeping all your tabs in sync and all that kind of good stuff. It's quite compelling. You know, and I've moved out of that into Safari world, and having all that linked up everywhere I go and being able to, you know, pick up the iPad and say, What was that tab I had on? Oh, it's that one. You know, and just being able, you know, it all works really nicely, and you do want that.
My a lot of my computing world now is purely Chrome based. And the way it syncs across everything does mean that immediately I go onto a new computer, I can have it exactly as I know and you know, want it. So it's pretty clever. BBC's come forward this week and also told us how they're going to attack the future and still try and retain their public funding. And they've kind of come up with how they see that happening in this internet world. So local and cultural partnerships. So they're going to work with local news stations, get more relevant news to where you are. And, you know, how do they go and inject that into your daily life kind of thing? Curation, personalization. So again, making things more focused around you.
Yeah, and they also talked about like bringing in content from elsewhere and distributing that as well, you know, so not just being purely BBC content. And you could go in and say, I want this, 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 and this.
So if there's a local independent provider, maybe.
It made me think of, you know, they're obviously looking at YouTube and saying, well, people are going and subscribing to what they want to watch. And you end up being, that's the things, you know, you're, rather than just seeing this, you know, I don't know, billions of videos, new videos each day, you're actually still getting the, this is the stuff I don't want to
focus down to what you particularly want to, And that forces people's interaction as well, because it means that you, when you go and subscribe, it becomes relevant kind of thing. Again, it's a lot of words.
So this was a lot of words, and it was almost like concepts, and what they're committing to by the end of the year is something more concrete. So things like BBC News Stream. So that rather than rolling news, it's streaming news. It's basically saying we're going to kill News 24. Because we're not seeing the kind of take up that justifies the cost, and more folk are moving to online, and it's cheaper to do. And it
I personally think News 24 is a terrible waste of money.
I think all the stream. I mean, we see that constant.
I think it reduces news. Reduces journalism, and it reduces everything.
But it also focuses them just to like, how do I fill this hour on this event's just happened? Breaking news. You know, Ian's farted. You know, and how quickly
that's
that
what it ends up
move?
Being.
Let's go to our correspondent who can take us through the most powerful farts in the world. And, you know, do some crazy stats on it. And it just feels like this isn't educating me. It's not telling me what I want to see.
As far as I could see, it just led to, say, poor everything. I just don't like it. But I'm sure it's been around a while now. And I think they feel like they need to be in that market.
So a couple other things that are a bit weird. An idea service. So this is a curated idea service. Will be to culture what the World Service has been in international news. So they want to bring together everything the BBC does across its different, you know, art, science, history, etc. But what they also talked about was we could actually probably turn off, you know, BBC Four and, you know, maybe reduce one of the radio stations, which obviously people are going to be like, you can't do that, but they need to save money. They can't do everything they're doing with the money they've got now.
Problem is with BBC Four is that they just suffer from lack of exposure. Whenever I flick over to see what's on, normally something I quite enjoy and like to, you know, see, but I kind of miss it on my planner it's not my daily visit that I then just, I don't go and see it. With better discovery online, I'd probably find more stuff that I'm interested in rather than it having it on a channel. If they were really focused on their online stuff, it might surface that content better.
Best example for me, Honor Connect, which I loved. It was on BBC Four for years, and most folk never watched it.
I'd never heard of it until you said, and then suddenly it pivoted over to BBC Two.
It's now getting exposure that it probably deserved, because it's a great little niche quiz, but it's actually quite addictive.
It is quite addictive, just for that one day that you actually get a connection.
So basically all kids' content is going to be under a banner of iPlay rather than iPlayer, so all online. Actually bringing together, you know, not just the kind of video content, but actually articles and other, you know, wiki type stuff as well. We've already touched about content aggregation, so they've got ambitions that ITV Channel 4, come on in, you can sit an iPlayer.
They've been saying this a while just because they wanted to get out of that competition thing. In fact, they offered all their technology up to those platforms, which I think they did end up using in the end. But this is obviously them now saying, rather than be these three separate enterprises, let's just bring it all together.
Yep. And finally, the weird one, a dedicated music streaming service, which was like, oh, how does that work?
Feels a little bit like, well, everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. And they said it wouldn't be like Spotify or any other services, but it would make 50,000 tracks available that we broadcast, available via a streaming service, but also our podcasts and other things. I was like, oh, okay. So we'll see more detail. They have to, as I said, they have to change. They've taken on some commitments like paying for the free over 75s, you know, license, and they've not got the money anymore.
No, I just think it's a shame that they've been squeezed to this extent. I don't see why we don't. I mean, I I bleat on about it. I love BBC content in general. I wouldn't say I loved it all, but I think it's a shame that we don't celebrate it as such an amazing thing that doesn't have adverts in it. And I think that is important because I'm getting more and more jaded by the adverts that I see. And I do like the fact that I can watch a BBC show and know that I'm just not going to face that onslaught. You know, for me, the balancing act between content versus what's paying for that content, I still love BBC being there.
There was a great graphic that they actually did for this, which showed you what they class as their media competitors, you know, and it showed you the little bubble that was BBC, and it's like Sky, ITV smaller than it, Channel 4 smaller than it, but then they had in like Apple, Google, Microsoft, yeah. Netflix, all massive, you know, planets compared to BBC being quite a little moon.
And the amount of good stuff that comes out of the BBC, yep. as a, you know, based on its size. And I agree that there's, you know, people would argue that, you know, it shouldn't be this compulsory thing. But it wouldn't be the same if it was like an HBO model, unfortunately.
No.
Because there would be a lot of people who'd be worse off, but they wouldn't be prepared to, I mean, culturally worse off, I'd say, but they wouldn't be prepared to pay for it anyway. There you go. Quite sad. Come on, BBC, you can do it. Come on. Come on. That's the end. We've been talking for over an hour now, so I'm not even going to ask for a pick. In fact, no, we should do our pick. You do your pick. Go on.
I've not got a pick.
You have. It's called Johnny Jive.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Jive. I forgot about that. So you go to Johnny Jive, as in JonnyJive.com, and you too can make your own Johnny Ive
video presentation about the latest technologies. It's brilliant. Yep. JonnyJive.com. Go there. Have a bit of fun. It's good.
I actually have two other quick things. Have you got a pick?
No.
That's a joint pick then. I tried the Forza demo after your lamenting of it last week. Yeah. And technically very good. The having to go back to pits and all that messing around does great. Mm-hmm. Not as much as please buy me. Please buy that.
You accidentally press mods. Continue at the wrong time. And it's like, you can't do anything now. You can't go back to your dashboard. You can't do anything. You can either click a buy button or go to the Forza Hub. Nothing else in between.
Yep. But it was also like, here's some mods. You can use a mod to add this. You can use a mod to make you faster. You want more mods? Buy them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like
it seemed, that. It seemed like it was a credit system though, rather than an actual purchase.
I don't know. I just had a worry that I've spent £60 in the game and I'm going to be online with somebody that's going to have a whole.
No, I think they've shied away from it. I think it's all credit-based system. So it's actually in-game credits. Whether you can go online and buy credits, I don't know. But it seemed in the demo like you could buy those mods and it was in-game credits. So you're right.
And another bit that grated was the fact that it's like, yes, you can buy it, and there's three versions. There's a standard one. There's a one up that has, I think, some DLC. But then there was the ultimate one, which basically gives you the game 7 days early. Buy for early access. And I was like, you.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to buy it.
But then that's the direction. FIFA went in that direction, didn't they? And stuff.
They've all done it, but I'm not going to buy it.
No. And it's out it's out either today or in the next 5 days or something. So
no, Ultimate Edition's out tomorrow. So if you pay extra money, you can get it tomorrow.
5 days later. So we're talking about a week away. We'll report back on the reviews and stuff. And there's
The reviews are already out. The reviews are universally praising it, saying it's fantastic.
Okay, so there's still a little chance that I'll weaken and buy it, but we'll see. I just don't think I'm going to play it.
One thing, and the last thing, I did weaken and buy a BB-8. So I do have a BB-8. It is a fantastic toy. It is really expensive, but boy, do I love it.
It is cute. Does it make all its noises?
Of course it does.
Okay, that is the
even better when you're running it along the floor and it hits the skirting board and it, or it jolts and it goes and it glows red. Oh,
yes, we are kids. That is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for sticking around this long. DigitalOutbox.com is our website. If you can stand us any more, info@DigitalOutbox. If you want to talk to us, Twitter is DigitalOutbox. Again, do contact us if you'd like. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And Ian, where can we find you?
At bloggersind.net, Twitter is Sweeper.
Perfect. AcademyRacer.co.uk if you want to follow along with my woes in my racing. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Oh. Bye.
Oh, good God.
I know. Shout out to friend of the show, Roy, who did catch the keynote bingo game of, there's flight notifications.
It's not even fun anymore, wait for that. It's like, oh, there they are. Oh, there they are. Oh, yep. There they are.
But I was that arsehole at Heathrow. And I was like, oh, we're boarding at gate 9, looking at his watch. Because I got an alert that told me we're going
You've
to gate 9.
You actually used it? My God.
I did. We were sitting there. I was eating my sushi, having a little natter. And my wrist vibrated. I looked down. I went, Scott, we're at gate 9.
But that's not a gate change, God damn it.
It's not a gate change. It was
just a gate allocation.
Yeah, but hey, it worked. We finished my sushi. He finished his sandwich. We strolled on down to gate 9.
And just think, you could have, if you'd had your peek and pop, you could have peeked at what that all meant as far as your gate numbers. I don't know. They showed something about peek and pop on the gate numbers.
Peek and pop.
It felt important at the time.